is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, every week I get with you folks, and I keep saying it really can't get much stranger or weirder in America, but we top it every week now, don't we? It's a little scary as to where it all ends at this point. Seems like all normal traditions appear to be out the window today in America. And if you look closely at what is happening and taking place, it is absolutely scary. You've got to look, though, beyond the headlines and really understand what's taking place. And you have to begin to ask yourself, who is really in charge here in America, number one, right? And why are a lot of the leaders, the governors, mayors, and others, standing by and allowing the destruction to happen from sea to shining sea, as I always say to you? Those are some good questions. We have a big program today, people, talking about all of the things and the unrest that is happening in the Republic. But also, this canceling America's culture is quite fascinating. What's happening there? It's very scary is what it is. And we've got a medical aspect a little later on, too. The politics of looters versus lockdown. A great group here today. Happy to be with you on Viewpoint. We'll start here with Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. He's a retired police detective. He's a forensic criminologist, a political analyst, and host of Talking While Married here on America Out Loud. Michael Johns joins us. He's the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He's a former White House speech writer and a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. All right, Seattle. I want to start right in Seattle, the Capitol Hill. They call it the autonomous zone. Chaz is the word they're using here. So the protesters in Seattle declared an area that includes the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct as the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Chaz, we'll call it, okay? After the Seattle Police and the National Guard pulled out of the region. Now, it's a six-block region, basically, people, okay? And here's what's really scary or weird about it. There's a sign posted, I've noticed, in the things that says, you're now leaving the USA. And that's some of the crazy things going on there. Dr. Ron, let's talk about who is doing this exactly. I know you've studied this. Who is exactly in that zone, and who are these people? What are they doing?
It's a combination of several groups. The Black Lives Matter organization, you know, I've written about that organization extensively in my book, The Truth Beyond the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Next, we have Antifa, which is really an oxymoron because Antifa, meaning, you know, anti-fascist, are actually a fascist organization. And then also we have anarchists that also hang with Antifa. And then we've got, you know, assorted, you know, ignorant people that are associated with both groups, don't claim either groups. Now, the thing to remember here, just very succinctly, is that Antifa has been designated as a domestic terrorist organization by President Trump, by executive order. And so they understand the tactics very well. So the groups like Antifa, they keep trying to change their names so that they can't get hit with a terrorist violation or anything. But the important thing, just like I said in Black Lives Matter, it's very important that you understand that all of these groups are funded, and it takes a great deal of money to fund these organizations, and you have to follow the money.
That's exactly where my mind was before you even went there. Michael, where's the money coming from to do it? Any idea where the funding is coming from for all of this?
Well, they have an immensely well-developed, almost Fortune 500-like fundraising effort that draws on on big donors from the far left and also from grassroots fundraising. Then there's speculation about the possibility, which is based on some anecdotal information, so it's not completely baseless, but it's not yet proven either, of foreign funding and whether some of this country's more severe and serious enemies have attempted to use these organizations to create chaos and even a revolutionary climate within the country.
But you take a look at the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin, is really something else here. You can't hardly put this one into context here. So she told President Trump to go back to your bunker, which started to escalate a spat between them all on Twitter and other places here. The president says, take back your city now. If you don't do it, I will. And he warned the mayor and the governor. In fact, they're both leftist Democrats, Jay Inslee, of course, who's been very controversial. And he put a tweet out referring to them as domestic terrorists and all of that. You know, and Michael, the president says this is not a game. These ugly, anarchists must be stopped immediately. Move fast, he said. But yet they're not moving fast. The mayor is up there saying, hey, man, chill. It's going to be a summer of love. I mean, what do people really make of this shit? What do you think?
Well, as it relates to what the president's approach to it, you know, which we've long discussed, is that you have sort of two communities of people: people who love these tweets, people who think it's unpresidential. I've been in the former, not the latter category. But I want to say this: these tweets are meaningless, and they're going to become increasingly meaningless if they're not backed up with real policy. So when you're telling them shut it down, shut it down, or I will. Mm-hmm. Let me just say this. There is zero indication that they're going to shut anything down. So now you have all, not just the president's credibility on the line, but the office of the president's credibility on the line. So I liked what he said. I think it's consistent with the rule of law. And he does have options available to him. But you got to follow through on this stuff or it's meaningless.
Yeah, you just say something so important, man, so important that nobody's saying is because what's happening is the president has drawn a red line with these tweets is what's happening. It's messaging from his office again, as you say. And if you don't act on this, you become paralyzed. And we've seen that with the previous administration with all his idle threats and nothing ever happened. That could be a real problem here. And it's almost as dangerous as doing nothing, probably more dangerous because then people don't take you at your word, Mike. That's a hell of a point to make here. Ron, these politicians, you don't really know what to make, but I have to tell you, I read some of the tweets from some of the residents there and others, and there's a bit of jubilation out there. I mean, people are really off the cuckoo's nest. I mean, there are people, and I'm talking about residents and homeowners and people in the area. I've seen a lot of various messaging tweets and others where they seem to be glorifying all of this that's happening in that district. What's happening there in Washington? How bad is this?
Well, you know, if you take a look at the Capitol Hill, you know, autonomous zone, as they're calling, or just what it used to be known as, and that's Capitol Hill, district, that's sort of like the People's Republic of Berkeley, if you were looking at the San Francisco Bay Area. So there are residents that are there that are supportive of this movement. There are actually businesses there that are supportive of the movement and that they're giving food and supplies and things like that to continue that movement. But don't forget, there's a lot of people that live within that district that are totally against that. And if you look at, you know, who's in charge and, you know, what's going on, look how crazy this is. And of course, I have to look at it from a law enforcement, standpoint and a constitutional and civil rights standpoint, which is what I do every single day. Mm-hmm. And that is this. Look at the incongruency here. The people and the politicians, just like Jenny Durkin, are against stop and frisk by the police. But yet you have armed insurrectionists from Black Lives Matter and Antifa and anarchists, armed insurrectionists that are stopping people, searching these people. And then you have the extortion that the police department has talked about. And you have these people that are preventing the law enforcement officers from going back into the East Precinct. And then you have Chief Carmen Best, who's a total puppet of the far left, of Jenny Durkin, who doesn't even have the guts enough to say to, you know, on camera, look, the mayor's making me do this, and I'm in control of my people. And now what we are doing is bowing to the insurrectionists.
Who are the puppeteers?
Well, George Soros. And again, just like I wrote about in the book, where does the funding come from? Mm-hmm. George Soros has got a large organization with hundreds of millions of dollars in it called Open Society. Right. And then within that organization, there is a black ops organization for funding called the Tides Foundation, based in Sausalito, California. They are funding this group. And then you've got the major celebrities like Jay-Z and Beyoncé Carter, that just, for instance, for Black Lives Matter, they funded that organization with $33 million. And that pays, like with George Soros, to get the people there, to bus them in, to feed them, to put them up, to equip them. And remember what happened in Ferguson after the Michael Brown shooting by Officer Darren Wilson? They burned that town down in the downtown inner city. And who suffered? Minority businesses. So look at what's going on even bigger with Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, who has publicly avowed his support for Black Lives Matter. And by the way, my book, which we've sold thousands and thousands of copies on Amazon, has been removed from the Amazon bookshelves, yet they don't have any problems putting up the Anarchist Cookbook, the Book of Antifa, and then t-shirts that say "Kill Blue Lives" and "Blue Lives Murder." So these organizations and what is happening now is funded by much bigger, sophisticated organizations, and the American public needs to recognize that and be very concerned about that.
I think the bigger problem is what Ron says at the end there. How do we make people aware of this? Because there is an extremely amount of ignorance out there between the social media puppets who push this stuff and really don't know what they're talking about. And you know what I mean, Michael. But more than that, the media, there is no media that's reporting anything of truth or knowledge here. It's like they are part of this whole darn operation.
One of the benefits of having spent a good amount of my career in foreign policy is I've been in many countries with governments that have been under revolutionary assault and attack. Yeah. And I've been actually in revolutionary environments in my support for the Reagan Doctrine and involvement of the Reagan Doctrine in trying to undo communist regimes around the world during the Cold War. And that's why I would refrain at this moment from calling this movement like crazy or just rolling your eyes at it and not taking it seriously. Amen. I will tell you it has very little to do really ultimately with law enforcement. Statistically, last year, we had 375 million interactions between law enforcement and civilians in this country. 19 unarmed whites were killed, 9 unarmed out of 375 million. In many respects, you might point to that and say, at least as it relates to lethal force, maybe not as it relates to more general policing and Fourth Amendment issues and whatnot, at least as it relates to lethal force, the country is doing more than okay, and has improved dramatically, according to the CDC, 80% reduction in lethal force from law enforcement from the late 1960s until the 2010s. This is the most important point. This is a question about who will govern and how they will govern. Mm. Now, if you want to take power, the first thing you have to do is remove the force of the current power structure. So when you go into this Chaz area in Seattle, what was the first step that they did? They insisted that the police headquarters there be abandoned, and they agreed to abandon it. And they have removed and refused to allow entry to law enforcement. Now, some may say, well, that's part of this defund the police movement, and they're not going to have any law enforcement. Wrong. They're going to have law enforcement. It's going to be them. It's going to operate much like it has in Cuba, Venezuela. These will be individuals that are assigned to their leadership. They're going to have a different sense of what law enforcement priorities are, not based on the rule of law, not based on any civilian legislation. And it's going to be hugely politicized. This mayor was an Obama prosecutor appointee. Wow. She worked, as I recall, with Williams and Connolly in D.C., which is very connected to Silicon Valley. And it's, you know, the premier white-collar defense firm in the country. The American people are up against a hugely well-financed power structure. And let me say something that's a little bit uncomfortable. Let's stop complaining about it. Let's stop complaining about Amazon, about Twitter, about Facebook, about all the money the left has. What have exactly has this conservative movement that was defined, that was established with great seriousness to prevent exactly these sort of things done over the last two decades to prevent it? Yeah. We are ill-funded, and we have activists and organizations not taking these issues seriously and work in the communal ways, the collective ways that the left has done, which is how you are effective ultimately.
You know, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, because, you know, Michael, you and I have talked off mic and on mic about that point many times. And, you know, I really call out the right a lot, just like you just did. Where have they been? Where's their organization? Where's their funding? It seems the left it continues to outsmart them at every move, and the stakes could not be higher. When we talk about this defunding the police business, Ron, the question I have for you, is this a broad description of police reform, or are they trying to mean the end of policing in America? What does defund the police look like?
Well, I'll tell you, it's part of the 4D program from the Black Lives Matter movement. And again, I wrote about this in the book. And here are the 4Ds. And you can see this happening right now. First of all, we've taken they've taken steps to disenfranchise law enforcement from the public. Okay, so they want to disenfranchise law enforcement. Then they want to distance law enforcement from both the civilian community and the business community. Look at what is happening now. Businesses are pulling away, and providers and vendors of equipment and things and even food sources are pulling away from the law enforcement community. Now we're into defunding, and at the same time, we're into dissolving. So remember, disenfranchise, distance, defund, and dissolve. And that is all part of a Marxist-Leninist plan that started really about 30, 40 years ago. Because the plan of the Marxist plan that the BLM subscribed to, because that's what they are black nationalist avowed Marxists. And nobody ever, I know all the leaders in the Black Lives Matter movement that started it, none of them ever made one argument about my book because I quote from them. So here are the phases that we've been going through. Demoralization. And that's done, it's important that it's done by Americans and to Americans. And this is where you get to the point where the propaganda from the schools, they need to generate, they need to influence two generations of Americans to make this happen. That's why it takes about 30 years for this to happen. Then destabilization. And we saw most of the destabilization period during the Obama era, where they hit three important areas of our government: the economy, foreign relations, and defense systems.
Right.
And we're into crisis.
This is what makes this so scary. This is what makes this so dangerous, what we're talking about now. And I think what I just need people to understand, this is not just another news event. It's not just another scandal that goes away. We're talking about really the radicalization and the reformatting of America here. It's not pleasant on the other side of this thing. Well, listen, this whole George Floyd incident here, what happened. So a couple of things on that. I personally did not see any of the services or any of the massive exposure around it. A little too busy in my life to be watching this sort of thing. And the Reverend Al Sharpton, he comes out and I seen on the news clips him doing his usual, you know, screaming off the top of his lungs at the listeners there, the audience, you know. He says he remembers George Floyd as an ordinary brother who changed the world. Now, you can read a lot into that, I have to tell you. And there's a lot to this here. And, you know, the white carriage drawn horse down the road. I mean, the photographs I have in front of me are unbelievable of the service that I went and looked up here. And I just blown away at some of the photographs here, all dressed in white. I mean, they really have him as a saint up at the top of things here. Who is George Floyd? Who is he?
Well, first of all, you know, he is definitely a victim of police brutality. He's a longtime felon. Okay, real quick, been in prison a number of times, was involved in a home invasion of a pregnant woman where he put a gun up to her head. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are serious things. This guy's whole life has been a train wreck, and he's been a criminal his whole life.
Let me get over to Michael now and say, so what's happened, Michael, from a political aspect? They take these incidents like the Floyd thing, is, and Dr. Ron just put it out there, well, I mean, he was a victim of something really awful, horrible. But like everything else, I mean, this is where the left is so good, Michael. They take whatever tragedy they can, or as you'd call it, a crisis, and they spin it into a worldwide phenomenon to get what they want. And I have to tell you, when you look at the Congress up there and the kente cloths on them and all kneeling down, and then all the police kneeling all over the, I mean, it looks like they've succeeded, Michael, at this point. Have they not?
They are succeeding. They have not succeeded. This is still an ongoing issue. For them to accomplish what they want to accomplish here will be an uphill battle, but they have aligned all of the assets, resources, ideology, support, and mastery of Marxist-Leninist propaganda measures that are typically accustomed with the revolutionary climate.
Michael, I seen a tweet out there that said this, and it was addressed, it was from somebody I don't know, a reader, listener, somebody. It says, Malcolm, it's all under Trump's watch. There is no denying that. Trump has been in office for 3.5 years, and it has been nothing but chaos and turmoil. It always starts from the top, the leader, and trickled down. He can't point the finger anywhere else, a poor leader. So that was said to me. The reason I bring that up is pretty obvious, I think, to you, Michael, is because so what they've done is they've created chaos around all the work that Trump has done over the past 3.5 years. And someone had described it the other day to me, like there's a lot of residue. Not one thing has really been able to stick to President Trump, but there's an awful lot of residue. What worries me now is all that residue begins to build up. And middle America, who's really not paying attention, who really doesn't have the channel on to look deep into this thing, you see where I'm at? Now you read a tweet like that, and you see there's a large percentage of the population who would agree with that tweet.
Well, I wouldn't be one of those people. I think this president has done an exceptional job. And if we went back 120 days from where we are right now and looked at the state of the country, he had this economy humming on all cylinders, performing at levels that were unprecedented. He did not invite the coronavirus. China was responsible for that. He's managed it well, in my judgment, based on a very close observation of it. And he did not kill George Floyd, a law enforcement officer ultimately responsible to the Democrat political leadership of that city, killed George Floyd.
That's a good
and,
point.
Oh, by the way, during the 8 years of Obama and Biden, there were plenty of excessive law enforcement cases, more in almost all probability than there have been under Trump. And one final point is that race relations in this country, according to all polling, and admittedly this predates George Floyd, but you know, earlier this year, shows that the American people of all ethnicities believe race and relations have improved since the president, since President Trump took office.
Yeah,
so if you compared it to where they were in January of 2017 to where they are now, the perception is they've improved. And I think they had.
Everything is ideologically driven. Everything you're just talking about and the political ramifications of all this come back to an ideology of where do you want to take the nation? I really believe we are in such a critical, pivotal moment of America's history. It is more than concerning, people. And, you know, the message here today, I want to make sure you please all understand, there is a lot of work to do. A lot of work. And let me say one other thing, so you, and I'm going to repeat this many times to you over the next many months. Everything does not start and stop and fall on this next election in 2020. I know a lot of you believe that out there. This election is a critical election. Every election is a critical election. But let me say, the fundamental problems we're speaking about on Viewpoint right now go way beyond and transcend all of this conversation about the leaders you're putting into office. In other words, the problems are far more profound than President Donald J. Trump can do as one man. It is going to take a movement of we the people to raise this nation up and to bring it back to its self-governing principles and its constitutional freedoms. And so this is a long journey ahead, is my message, a long journey. And maybe it starts in November, look at it that way, but I'm telling you, all, each, the work really begins at that moment. If you want to preserve this for your families, Know that this experiment is in a lot of trouble right now, and that is not a talking point. It is a reality, people. So it's important to know that here. Tremendous thank you to Michael Johns, Dr. Ron Martinelli. Up next, we'll talk about canceling America's culture, what that looks like, and how the signs of that play into what we're talking about right now with Michael and Ron. Very, very important. Stay right there, friends, as Viewpoint rolls on.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Well, it's one of the telltale signs you see in a country that I was telling you up front. You've seen this in China, you've seen it in Russia, you've seen it in Cuba, you've seen it in a lot of these totalitarian governments. And it's when they begin to want to acid wash our history, if you will. It has become it's called cancel the culture, really. Cancel anything that got us here, which is very odd that you would want to do that. You know, history is there for a purpose, people. I think you can all agree. If we don't learn from history, how do we march forward and really understand what we're going to build in the future here? It's important we hang on to our history, not that we need to over cleanse it or worry about what somebody did back in the day. I mean, come on. Well, it's a problem we're talking about right now, canceling America's culture, when I talk to you about, and you're seeing the Confederate statues coming down, Christopher Columbus, there's nothing sacred anymore, renaming the military bases, you name it, it's up for discussion today here. And these are the signs of the trouble of the era we're in. We'll welcome onto the show here Ilana Friedman. She's a veteran intelligence analyst, a political commentator, host here at America Out Loud. Also, happy to have with us for the first time, Dr. Marty Fox. He's a surgeon. He's actually a former talk show host, and he's a son of Holocaust survivors. It's good to have his voice in the mix today as well. Let me read you this quote and start here. This is from Andrew Bennett Moorhead. He's a spokesman for the Virginia Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And he says this: what is at stake is not about black or white. It's not about the monuments. It's about our very fundamental form of organized government, he said. He said the statues should remain where they are. And he added and finished, it is heritage. It is the culture of America. It cannot be erased. Well, that sounds like a good place to start, Ilana Friedman. And, you hear Andrew Bennett's Moorhead's comments there. But they are indeed trying to erase our history, it seems. What do you make of all this right now?
Well, it's something that we have been talking about for quite a long time, that it's coming, because we have been teaching our children in ways that they are totally educationally impoverished. They don't know our history. They don't know the history of their country. They don't know the geography of their country. They don't know what came before them, and they don't understand the context in which our history unfolded. So this is something that now we are seeing the results. We're talking about people who are out there destroying or trying to destroy by what they call canceling the reality of our history. Because they don't understand that what happened 200 years ago happened within a totally different context from what we have today. in that reality, they are saying, we don't want our history, we don't like our history, and we are going to destroy it, and we're going to reinvent it. Basically, what they're doing is destroying everything that is functional and that is basic to America's soul.
The danger of this, on the surface, some people may turn this off and not think it's a big deal. And I know that sort of has happened over the past 10 years, because we, as you just said a moment ago, we've seen some of these stories where, you know, okay, a statue goes down or something else is crumbled and innocent enough, not a big, big story. But now you're seeing the underpinnings of all of this. Dr. Marty Fox, isn't this the signs that a totalitarian regime is, isn't this is what's happening in the history of countries? And are you concerned?
Yes, I'm very concerned and completely agree with you. I have a little different point of view. I think these are organized, coordinated, leftist, totalitarian, Marxist groups. They do understand this is all by design. Our children don't know history by design. They have to erase history so they can rewrite history, so they can impose their failed policies on an ignorant population. You know, all of us have heard that famous quote attributed to Edmund Burke about, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it. I like to say that the left does know history, and they want to repeat it. I think you have the masterminds who understand everything out there, and this is all deliberate. They have to make you hate your country so you will allow them to transform it. And that's what they have done with generations of children, and especially in the universities, in the indoctrination factories. It's interesting that one of the Black Lives Matter demands is free college, so we can continue to fund the indoctrination factories.
Isn't it the indoctrination factories? That's a good way to put it right there. We're also seeing the other big story about our military bases. They want to rename the military installations, Bennett, Bragg, and others. It's funny because Major General Malcolm Frost in June 2015 said, "These historic names represent individuals, not causes or ideologies. It should be noted that the naming occurred in the spirit of reconciliation, not division." Joe Biden is another one. He came out in support of renaming the military bases. So this is now the next hot topic, is to rename the military bases. Where do you see this going?
Well, I think we can't leave the Democrat, a.k.a. Communist Party, out of this. And they, in particular, benefit from rewriting the Confederacy and Confederate history, because they are the party of slavery, the party of the KKK, the party of Jim Crow. They would like nothing better than to erase that history. That is, they benefit from this, and they are key players in all of this.
Wow. That is a hell of a point, Ilana, that Marty brings up there. And in other words, a lot of people have lost sight or don't really understand. I'm talking, if you polled 10 people on the street somewhere in any given city, and you asked them what Marty just talked about in reference to slavery and who really supported that or who tried to, you know, change the trajectory of that, I don't think they'd get the answer right. Do you?
No. That's right. And now what we are seeing is the activation of their plan to totally disrupt the structure of the United States of America and the way it's governed and the way it is it moves from point A to point B. In the South, in the history of the South, the Democrats were always in charge. They were in charge of the heads of the KKK were always Democrats. The people who implemented the poll tax and they all and who organized the lynchings, they were all Democrats. The people who insisted on segregation and in every area of life, separating blacks from whites, they were Democrats. And it was only when Johnson was president and the Civil Rights Act was implemented, was passed under his presidency, that the Democrats started to ride this new magic carpet and proclaim that they were the good guys, but they're not. And the the what is going on now is organized. It's everything that Marty said it was.
Yeah.
And it's pure evil.
Well, you know, and as Michael John said earlier in the program, the left is very organized and they're very powerful in what they do. The right has not executed well on those cylinders. And that is part and parcel of the problem here. We're bringing up some very interesting points here that I like where we've gone thus far on this conversation, because it really is an eye-opener when you truly understand what we're speaking about, people. Now, let me give you a couple other examples right now. Now you're seeing mainstream culture react to all of this. I'll give you an example here. Walmart just came out. This is all in the last couple of days here now. They will stop putting their multicultural products in locked cases. And basically, they're thinking that some of these products are an insult because they are behind locked cases. And some of the people came out and said they're in areas where largely people of color can't be trusted, is what they're thinking that this means. Walmart apologized and said they would no longer lock these pieces up behind the cases. How much of that is true or not, you know, it is a fact of what's happening in the culture here. So they're being, things are being twisted now to, you can't run your business the way you need to. You can't, you know, you're it's all being put into what you can and can't do. Politically correct is what this is. By the way, Greg Glassman resigned as the CrossFit CEO after controversial statements about George Floyd. Well, what was controversial? Well, on Twitter, on his Twitter account, he had put Floyd-19. as a reference to COVID-19 and do the math, people, right? In other words, his reference point, but isn't that his free speech again? I mean, isn't that the man's free speech? But again, he has had to resign now because he's been ridiculed for suggesting that. And then country band Lady Antebellum, I guess they're called here. I'm not the big country guy here, so I can't really say. I'm more of a rock and roll dude myself. But so they changed the name now of the band or the group there to Lady A. Lady A, because of the slavery reference, they just figured out and said, oh, shoot, that's a reference to slavery. We better change that again. So having said all of that, and then on top of this, Marty, what's happened here is this. So Speaker Pelosi comes out and she says she wants to remove 11 Confederate statues from the U.S. Capitol, if you can believe that. And that's her next move. Of course, Pelosi's never too far behind the wagon here. And what do you say to all that, Marty?
I'd say Lady Pandering, Lady Antebellum, Lady Pandering, and Pelosi. Lady Pandering. She left out that her her father or uncle, who was the mayor of Baltimore,
right,
actually right, had the Confederate statues and praised them and had them put up. She left that part out. But the Democrat Party here, and Pelosi, Schumer, all of them, they are key players here. They benefit from this. They are not the JFK. I'm old enough to be a Kennedy Democrat when I was young and foolish. And they're not that party anymore. They are a Marxist, communist, anti-Semitic party. They need to erase history. The statues are first. We're going to have the book burning, Gone with the Wind, if we allow it. You know, if we let that happen, and the tactics that are used are intimidation. You mentioned Walgreens, Greg Glassman. It's intimidation. It's threats to destroy your business. I get threats for my tweets on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I get threats about my medical practice. I get death threats. And you just cannot be intimidated by any of this. These are the tactics. It's effective. The problem is they're using the charge of racism. Mm-hmm. And even though it's unfounded, people are intimidated by it. They're still intimidated by it. Nobody wants to be called a racist. They're going to keep doing it until people stop responding to it. Yeah. But it has been very effective up to this point.
It's been very effective. That's exactly it, what you say right there. It's been very effective, and they continue to use it, in fact, here. Listen, I want to turn the conversation slightly to talk about a big story internationally that nobody is speaking about. You've started to hear some of the early conversations about Kim Jong-un and whether he was sick or if he was dead or not about a month ago or so in the media. But it was a blip and it went away quickly, as a lot of stories do. There are reports now that that we are understanding intelligence-wise now, not things you're going to see in the media, that question whether he is indeed alive. And let me go right to Ilana Friedman and ask you, Ilana, based on what we know, intelligence sources from Kim about North Korea, who is really ruling the country right now, and where is Kim Jong-un?
Well, let's start with Kim Jong-un. I started reporting this about 6 weeks ago. He disappeared from view in the middle of April, and he didn't show up at very important places. And so there was a lot of conjecture about the fact that he'd undergone a botched surgery. Anyway, then there were some appearances that seemed to be that Kim Jong-un had three body doubles, so it's very possible that they were the ones who appeared. But there still was a lot of conjecture. What I reported was that his sister, Kim Yo-jong, who is a who also has another name, they call her the Black Widow, and she is somebody who is next in line. And it seems as though everything that I reported about 6 weeks ago has now come to pass. Kim Jong-un seems to be in a vegetative state, and we guess that because of the it's an educated guess, let's say. Because there has been no funeral. So that would indicate that he probably has not died. But in the meantime, Kim Yo-jong, his sister, has been consolidating her power. And it seems as though she has been successful. It hasn't been announced because it isn't complete as far as we know, but it is very close. And I believe that within the next few weeks, we will have an announcement from North Korea that Kim Yo-jong is firmly in control, and that she will be the next person to be the great leader in North Korea.
Wow. It is a story with far-reaching ramifications, which is why I wanted to touch on this. Dr. Marty Fox, what do you make of this story, and what do you know about it? Are you hearing anything of the sorts?
Well, look, you can't think about North Korea without thinking about our enemy, China. China controls North Korea. China desperately wants to get rid of Trump. It's a perfect storm. China, Iran, the American left, the Democrat Party, look for something that helps them try to defeat President Trump. There's something going on, which I believe in the end will be clear, that there's some move here that they think is going to help them defeat President Trump.
Dr. Marty Fox leaves it right there. It's very interesting because it tells you a lot of things here. Stay right there as Viewpoint continues.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So the politics of the looters and the rioters and all of that, or as some people like to call it, the peaceful protest, just don't look at a television screen anywhere, and you might be convinced of that maybe, versus the lockdown and what has happened, you know, this COVID thing we've come through. You really look at this all as kind of a 1-2 punch to the gut for America. That's what's happened in the past 6 months. So let's pick that up here, as well as some other considerations I want to discuss with you here. We'll do it with Dr. Elizabeth Lievliet is here. She's an independent physician specializing in preventive and climacteric medicine. She's a writer here and a great voice at America Out Loud. Dr. Ron Martinelli is back with us here, retired police detective, forensic criminologist, political analyst, host of Talking While Married. One of the interesting things, Dr. Vliet, that we're seeing here is that we've come through this whole social distancing mode of keep your distance and lockdown, and then we had the opening of certain red states but not blue states. There was an internal struggle that's still going on in the nation with the multiple phases and when to open up your government, so your cities or towns. But then you had this Floyd incident, which created a spark of civil unrest through the nation. And now you've got people that, and but really what I think is lost on a lot of people, and I want to get you to opine on is here, the politicians and a lot of the local leaders and congressional leaders as well are encouraging protest. They're saying that's our American right to destroy buildings and to face stuff and burn shit up and do whatever else you want to do in the city. And somehow they put that out there as a normal activity. But yet these same people are against, you know, having three people see each other in a restaurant somewhere in town, that is against the laws and the rules. I mean, how do you make sense of all this is what I'm asking, Dr. Bleet. How do you make sense of it?
Well, you don't make any sense of it. It is total hypocrisy, and it is not about anything related to public health and safety. It's about control of the population. And if the Democrats are working towards their agenda, which is taking back the country, keeping us locked down, suppressed, censored, and operating on their agenda, then it's fine to get out in public and be around thousands of people in close proximity to each other, and you don't have to worry about the COVID virus. If you're a law-abiding citizen who wants to run a business and get food for your family and have an occupation and feel meaning and purpose in life and go to church, fine. COVID is too much of a problem. You get to stay home, and we mandate that you do so, and we are devastating the economy and collapsing the economy. It's the Cloward-Piven strategy that was taught at Columbia University and that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and others were students of, designed to collapse the economy and make people dependent on the government so that the totalitarian mindset could take control. And President Trump is exactly the opposite of that. His belief is power to back to the people.
Dr. Ron, now this whole thing of looters versus lockdown, I've seen a lot of reports in the past 72 hours, more or less, that the numbers are rising. And as soon as I started seeing the headlines, I realized what they're up to. And I'm speaking about the media elites here. Let me be very, very clear. And so, but the headlines are telling a story. And to me, what I'm seeing is that this is to instill fear into people that, oh my God, it is still a virus. It is still a danger. And I am going to die. But really, we're testing more people in the nation now, are we not? And isn't that part of the reason here? Or are we really in a another round of a pandemic here that's going to wipe people out?
Yeah, really succinctly, as a student of media strategy, yeah. I can see where they're going. And this is what we talked about earlier with the crisis stage. They need to make that crisis stage worse. But the problem is, when you take a look at the stats and you take a look at, as Dr. Lee said, the incongruency, the hypocrisy of this, where before they had everybody on lockdown, now it's okay to protest and burn and loot. That kind of, I thought to myself, are we done with COVID? Is that done? But, this is just all part of the plan. So just a couple of easy stats. In the United States, we've had a rise of COVID. In a couple of states like mine in Texas, we've had a rise in COVID. But we haven't had a significant rise in the hospitalizations, and we haven't had a significant rise in the death rates. And I, just for instance, in Texas, we've got 83,600 COVID cases in total. We've got about 1,900 deaths. Your chances of getting COVID are 0.027%, and of dying of COVID is 0.00006%. So, just take a look at that.
What's that equivalent to? Tell listeners what's that equivalent to? What does that mean to somebody out there listening?
Well, I'll keep it simple. Dr. Lee would tell you that the term that we use in medicine is it's medically insignificant. All right. And we expect the COVID cases to go up as we get universal testing. They want us to completely lock up our businesses and go broke. But it's okay
for thousands and thousands of protesters to get together to protest in close proximity with no social distancing.
The World Health Organization, one of the most ironic things, I started to get a really weird feeling last week, and I really mean this, when I started to see their spokespeople come out and their the head of some of their key executives saying that, oh, by the way, wink, wink, the asymptomatic spread of coronavirus is very rare, very, very rare. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, you've got to be joking me. I mean, this is why we locked ourselves all down and got crazy for a bit here, was because you never knew who had it, when they had it, what would happen, so on and so forth. It just seems to me, Dr. Vliet, this thing has been so over-sensationalized that who do you believe at this point?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that the World Health Organization is an extremely politicized group. They are run by Communist China. Their agenda has always been more political than true health. And so most of us in medicine don't really rely on them for accurate information. But the COVID situation has been orders of magnitude worse than anything I've seen in my career, because they not only had the wrong information, they lied about it. And that is irresponsible and medically dangerous, and it costs lives and it costs economies by their lies. When they first lied and said there was no human-to-human transmission, then they lied and said there were asymptomatic carriers passing the virus before anybody knew they were sick. And then they lied and said that hydroxychloroquine was not effective when it was, and it was safe. It's been on their safe list for 65 years. So again, we see organizations being used to perpetuate a lie. At the same time, they're perpetuating the control agenda to keep law-abiding, conservative, traditional people that value liberty and freedom, could keep those people frightened and locked down and out of business.
Well, they seem to have done a good job of it, for sure, the World Health Organization. And I think the president has made that very clear, and disassociating with them. And you referenced Communist China there as well. One thing I've noticed in recent days and weeks is the president has really been, I've not seen him quite this way. I've watched his body language and how he has interacted with China. I think this is a game changer. And Dr. Ron, our relationship with China, I don't think will be the same again.
Yeah, I've said all along that no matter how you look at how this virus was developed or came, obviously we don't think it came from bats, and we don't think it came from a wet store, or whatever they call it in Wuhan. China let this thing out of the box, and by lying to us. And my belief is what China is doing is they got such a bad deal from Trump, which is where we really need to go in the China trade deal. They're trying to level the playing field, and they're trying to, of course, attack our economy. We can never again have the same relationship with China, with our technology and our general goods as we've had in the past. Right. We have to become self-sufficient.
China is playing games with people's lives to level the playing field for their economy. Dr. Ron's right. But more importantly, that's one of the reasons that so many Americans are dying, is that we can't get our medications.
They do not value human life there. And that's the great equalizer right there in this conversation. So as to why they would unleash this on the world, that would be exactly why. Now, as you're talking about hydroxychloroquine, I want to ask you about this lawsuit, Dr. Vliet, that the AAPS has put out there against the FDA as the ongoing battle is happening here with hydroxychloroquine. Tell us what the latest is, please.
Association of American Physicians and Surgeons filed suit on June 2nd against the FDA for restrictions, irrational restrictions on hydroxychloroquine, requiring patients to be hospitalized before it could be prescribed. That is in violation of the Accountable Care Act provisions for equal access to medications and medical services. It's in violation of the FDA's own regulations that allow off-label prescribing at doctor's discretion. So physicians have always been able to prescribe off-label a medicine that was FDA approved, and hydroxychloroquine was approved by the FDA in 1955. So we're looking at 65 years we've been using this medicine. Doctors use it off-label all the time. And suddenly, in an unprecedented move, the FDA says, no, you can't do that anymore with this one medicine. It has to be given in the hospital. And governors and state medical boards then started acting on that restriction and refusing to dispense it, so that doctors across the country were not able to prescribe hydroxychloroquine early in the disease when it is most effective and when it's working in other countries to save lives. Right. So it's unconscionable that we are seeing a higher death rate in the United States. On May 30th, we had 318 deaths per million in the United States. In India, using it, hydroxychloroquine prophylactically in early treatment, had 4 deaths per million. And they've got 4 times the population and far more poverty and less medical infrastructure. The FDA's actions have cost lives, and our medical organization is suing on behalf of the doctors and patients who have been harmed by the FDA's actions.
So in order to make this happen, we need your help out there, friends, to make this happen. And here's what I need you to do. On the front page of America Out Loud now, you'll see a hashtag, #GetLoud on HCQ. And we need you to share that as often and frequently as you can. You'll see the story right there in a place on the front page of America Out Loud. Break the FDA barriers, make hydroxychloroquine OTC, over-the-counter available. So that is an ongoing campaign we have here that we need your help, and we plead with you to please help us. Tweet the president or at Real Donald Trump. If he does an executive order on this, we could change the rules of the game almost immediately here. Big thank you here to Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, to Dr. Ron Martinelli. So where we find ourselves, friends, in the Republic is a very scary place. I want to share with you a brief statement I gave to my inner circle team, if you will, of what I think the moment represents that we are in. And it goes like this. What is happening in and to America at this very moment is far more lethal to Americans than any coronavirus coming down the pike. We're in serious danger in our republic. If you just look at the front page of AmericaOutloud.com right this very moment, it is alarming times 100. And I'm sad to say that we appear to be in one of the last great generations at 243 years in the American experiment, almost 244 now, that America will see. I don't say that with any joy in my step, and I am an optimist, by the way, and you know that about me. I believe in America with all my heart and soul, but the dangers are quite real, what's taking place right now. And the system may be too far gone, it seems. The underlying message is this, people. We will continue to do all we can here with every last breath. But please, each of you, do your part out there. Share the stories, share the programs, help us. Don't just talk, get involved, please. Help us in any way you can preserve liberty here in America, because your future depends on it. Friends, thank you for being with me on another Viewpoint. It's time to get involved and get loud.